The new study is calling for major changes to two of Milwaukee's deteriorating cultural assets. In 2016, large chunks of concrete fell from the Mitchell Park domes, prompting county officials to close the facility for several months until it could be made safe. That was a temporary fix. Full restoration could cost $75 million. At the same time, the Milwaukee Public Museum is experiencing problems with water leaks, mold, and temperature control. Officials there are working on plans for a new $100 million building. A new study commissioned by the Milwaukee County Museum Task Force is recommending that the domes be torn down and replaced with a brand new building, one that would also house the public museum. Estimated cost, $300 million. John Gerda is a Milwaukee historian and author of The Making of Milwaukee. He's also a member of the Domes Task Force. That's a different group working on the issue. John, welcome back to Central Time.
Good afternoon, Rob.
Well, what do you think of this recommendation? We, I guess, give up on the domes and combine it with a new building along with a public museum.
There's a lot of confusion out there, and I think it stems from the fact that there are two task forces.
Right.
The idea was floated that the museum and the domes combine, and it's not clear where that came from, but where the recommendation to tear down the domes came from was Gallagher, the consultant for the museum, which is very different from the task force that was charged with coming up with a plan for the domes, and that's the one that's been on since the end of 2016. And I think that's the one that is going to have more traction in a longer tenure. And basically, the reality from the task force I'm on is that there's no appetite for tearing down those domes. We've been through two phases. The first was feasibility. The second was public input. And we narrowed the possibilities down from 8 to 2. So we're kind of narrowing things down a bit. And those two are what we're describing as targeted investments, which will help with everything from classroom space to food service, and the larger one is turning the show dome into what we're describing as an ecological habitat zone. Could include canopy walks, aquaria, live animals, that sort of thing. So what's going on now is the RFPs, the request for proposal, just went out, I think in the last couple of days, for a consultant to help us kind of narrow down the options and be more specific about the comprehensive plan. So that's where things are going. And I think the prospect of those domes coming down, even though the headline was scary, I think that is not going to be an eventuality.
Now, a lot of people in Wisconsin have visited the domes over the years and decades. For people who haven't, paint us a picture and tell us about the role they play in Milwaukee.
They go back to the years between 1964 and 1967. They were built kind of in stages. There's a show dome where they have changing exhibits. There's a tropical dome. It's actually a rainforest. And a desert dome. So they were at a time after World War II when Milwaukee was really rolling along on kind of a high wave of prosperity and confidence. That's when the zoo was built. The public museum itself was built. The War Memorial Center was built. So a lot of landmarks that are part of the landscape today date from that period. And the domes replaced a crystal palace that was built back in 1898 and had fallen on hard times. So they were kind of a reimagination of kind of this horticultural conservatory for the masses. I've described them as a zoo for plants, which is kind of what they have been. One reporter described them as a brassiere manufacturer's model, so they have kind of that going for them as well.
And you, in a recent piece, you dug even further back in the history of bringing plants that are exotic to our part of the world into Milwaukee. Tell us about some of the first efforts that maybe weren't open to the public.
The guy who was the real figure there was Alexander Mitchell, and it's kind of a happy coincidence that the Mitchell Park, that facility and the park around it is named for his family. He was the richest guy in Wisconsin, a banker, railroad tycoon, insurance magnate, and he had a house on the corner of what's now 9th and Wisconsin in downtown Milwaukee, which is now the Wisconsin Club, and it's really in very, very good shape. But he had a greenhouse, a conservatory on his land, on his lot, that he had everything from orchids to fig trees to mushrooms to fruit trees, and he grew carnations, and he would go down to the commodity exchange in Milwaukee, and he had a fresh carnation in his lapel every day of the year, including February. So he wasn't known. He's kind of a tight-fisted Scot. He wasn't known as somebody who would spread the wealth around. But at Easter time, he grew lilies, and those would make their rounds to the Protestant churches in Milwaukee. So that really was kind of the, in some ways, the precursor of the domes of today.
And his conservatory there went away. A descendant wasn't that into it, and there was a big, 2/3 off sale and everything?
Yeah, it's sort of like Stein's, you know, after when the seasons have changed. What happened was, you know, he died 1887, I think. His wife Martha moved to Florida, so the house was, you know, just pretty much empty. And what happened was a group of well-heeled Germans organized something called the Deutscher Club, the German Club, and they made that their clubhouse, and that became the Wisconsin Club. It was known as the Deutscher Club until 1917, when it was really a bad idea to be waving the German flag, you know, during World War One. So it's been the Wisconsin Club ever since.
And then we had, as you mentioned, the Crystal Palace. Can you talk about the origins of that as a place now where the public could come and see these plants?
And that goes back to 1898, as I said, and it was kind of the vogue in large U.S. cities. There's still one in Chicago, down in Garfield Park on the south side. It's been kind of rehabbed. It's a fashion that began in Europe, you know, so you have these open windows open to the sky, basically, and so you could grow plants very easily, even in a harsh climate. They had to heat those things, you know, burned a lot of coal, you know, keeping those warm in the wintertime. So it was any city of size that was worth its salt, you know, pretty much had to have one of those conservatories. And the problem, of course, you know, is you have this winters can be a bit tough around here, as we've discovered in the last couple of months. Hailstorms aren't especially friendly, you know, for those kinds of structures. So it pretty much began to decline, began to deteriorate, and I think it closed back in about 1956 or so. And it was, even then, you know, there was a commitment to do something that would be more modern, you know, more contemporary. And that's where the domes came from, on the same site. So they didn't fall too far from the tree.
John Gerda is with us, Milwaukee historian, author of The Making of Milwaukee. He's a member of the Domes Task Force. We're looking at the future of the Mitchell Park Domes in Milwaukee. And let's get back to the present day. I want to read a couple of comments from Facebook. The Ideas Network Facebook page. Brandy says they're falling apart and not enough people visit to help finance fixing them. It's a shame. It's the truth. Paul says, though, the dome should be preserved. Milwaukee needs to stop electing the kind of executives who refuse to invest intelligently for the future. A decade and a half of deferred maintenance caused these problems. We owe it to our kids to do better. Let's take Paul's point first there, John. Is this a case where investments weren't made early enough to avoid some of the problems the domes have today?
Without any question. The buildings are 50 years old at this point, and some of the basic maintenance simply was not done. And, you know, the reasons for that, you know, in the more recent years are the county had a pension scandal that pretty much distracted both attention and especially resources, financial resources, you know, from anything resembling maintenance. So right now, no one really knows, but the county parks in Milwaukee have structural problems that would cost something like $300 million to remedy, you know. So this is part of a longer-term pattern, you know, as Milwaukee has struggled. And without decreases in combined, or rather, aid from the state of Wisconsin, you know, so there's been a real kind of a financial shortfall, and that continues to be a crisis, you know, for the county. So yes, there were things that should have been done a long time ago that we're paying for now.
And we heard from, as I mentioned, Brandy and some others on Facebook saying, we like these, but they're falling apart so much, we probably shouldn't try to save the buildings in their current form. You're not on board with that, it sounds like, John.
No, they're not really falling apart. There's one of the RFPs that went out this week, or the past this week, is for a study of the glazing system, the window system. So we don't really know at this point, you know, kind of what it would take to bring those back to code. And there was netting put in that really, the light still comes through, you know, it doesn't look like an eyesore. And the fix there was good for about 5 years. So it's not dangerous. Everyone should feel welcome to come. So the point is that, you know, we're trying to get something underway, you know, before, you know, that time limit is reached.
And we heard from Mike on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Mike says, make them bigger and better. We could afford to support private business owners by Miller Park and the Fiserv Forum, but we have to tear down a Milwaukee icon. Let's make it bigger and better. So is that an option, not just patching up what's there, but you were actually touching on this earlier, John, expanding and adding to it?
That's one possibility. I think the motion right now, the momentum right now, is toward keeping them, keeping the same footprint, keeping the same structures, and enhancing them both operationally and physically. So you'll see the same domes, but right now, you know, they have the studies we did in that first phase. The domes have, I think, of all the comparable attractions in the country, the domes have the smallest ratio of full-time employees to revenue and visitors. You know, so it really is, you know, kind of a bare-bones operation. One thing that frustrates me in the wintertime is it closes at 5, including on weekends. You know, and one of the it can be really magical in after dark at night, and that's something that I think should will be part of the discussions going forward. So I think the term we're using is targeted investments and then making a destination attraction. So I think the direction here and the message people should certainly receive is that the best is yet to come.
Can you talk about the role of an amenity like this, of the domes, for the community in Milwaukee County?
Yeah, I think what it says is, you know, we're not just a place that has roads and police and fire departments. No, the quality of life is important here, and that's always been. From the way back in the days in the mid-1800s when this was the Deutschhafen, the German Athens of America, you know, there was always this feeling that there was a good reason to invest in public amenities so that people could not just live but enjoy life. And the park system was really, really, and still is, a key part of that. Milwaukee has 15,000 acres of green space inside the county limits, and that is 5 times per capita more than Chicago has. And that's a pretty good system down there in Chicago. So this really was a time, especially when the socialists were in charge, those years between roughly 1910 and 1960, when it was, you know, trying to provide green corridors, the lungs for the masses, respite in the presence of nature for working families. And the park system's absolutely part of that, and the domes are part of the park system.
And, John, Milwaukee's going to get a few visitors next year for the Democratic National Convention later in the summer. Are the domes going to be an accessible option if people want to escape the hubbub and spend some time in the rainforest?
Yes, they will. Yes, they will. Yeah, because we're inside that window, you know, with the netting. So, absolutely. This is kind of on the same subject. I do a column for the Journal Sentinel the first Sunday of each month, and the one coming up in April will be looking at conventions past. And it's interesting, with all the talk about this being kind of this breakthrough event, we've never done it before. We actually have. Milwaukee has hosted conventions much larger than the 50,000 they're talking about that the Democrats will bring in. Back in 1941, the American Legion had its national convention here, and the numbers are slippery, but there may have been as many as 150,000 people here. They slept everywhere, including trunks of cars and kind of on berths in railroads, or railroad cars that were parked, you know, along the lakefront. And the highlight was a parade that lasted for 12 hours.
Wow.
At 40,000 people in the parade and about 400 drum and bugle corps and marching bands. So top that, I guess, is the challenge.
All right, John, thanks a lot for joining us today.
My pleasure, Rob.
That's John Gerda, Milwaukee historian and author of The Making of Milwaukee. He's a member of the Domes Task Force. We talked with him about the future of the Mitchell Park Domes, repair, the possibility of them being demolished. He doesn't want to see that, and what the future might hold.